Good morning. Welcome, everyone. We'll get started in just a couple of minutes.
Hi, Cliff. Good morning.
Hi, Kanag. Welcome. Okay, it looks like we have a critical mass, so let's get started. I have several topics on the agenda for today. First, for quick logistics, is that by charter, we're required to do PTL elections once per year. So I just initiated the process yesterday with the call for nominations. If you are a committer on the project and you're interested in running for PTL, please respond to my email by Monday morning US time. Then I will send out the official ballot next week on Monday. And I'd like to see if we can close the election by Wednesday, end of the day. Any questions on that? Okay. Let's see. Next, is Stephen Wright on the call?
Hi, I'm here, Chris.
Hi, Steve. I asked Stephen to give us a readout on VNF requirements. So let me drop my share. Thanks for joining us, Stephen. Can you share with us where things are with the VNF requirements? You know, what's ready for this release, and what do you think is realistic for testing versus badging?
Okay. So let me walk through the main artifacts so you get an idea of what there is, and then we can have a more detailed conversation. So the main thing the requirements produces is a set of documentation that's published on the readthedocs.io. It's also available on docs.onap.org. The one trick when you pull up, so you should, are you guys seeing my website with the documentation?
No, we're seeing your desktop.
Let me go back and share the right desktop. Okay, is that better?
Yes.
Okay. So when you get to the documentation, the one trick you really want to be aware of is in the bottom right here is a little pull-down menu that lets you select between Amsterdam release, Beijing release, or the latest release. Generally through Casablanca, we're working on the latest release, and then when the release gets cut, it'll become a new Casablanca documentation. I mean, your documentation is probably structured in the same way, but it's that little pull-down menu is not so obvious, and if you look at the Amsterdam stuff by mistake, you won't see as much information. So most of our stuff is under the VNF provider bullet here, and there's a few different categories of things. So there is a VNF guidelines document, which is a sort of general high-level description of why we need VNF guidelines and to a certain extent forward-looking what things are coming in future releases. There's the requirements themselves. There's test case descriptions, and the main thing we have at the moment is test cases just dealing with the VNF package inspection. We have some documentation on use cases, which tries to pull out the end-to-end use cases where there are particular requirements for VNF providers. So we documented the use case and then sort of annotated it with where the VNF requirements come in. And then we have our release notes. So there's the documentation. Go ahead.
What's the difference between a VNF developer and a VNF supplier? A VNF provider?
So back at this level, this is intended as advice for folks that are in the business of developing VNFs.
So say I'm Metaswitch. I would go to the VNF provider.
Yes.
And then you're going to tell me how to develop my VNFs and the VNF developer requirements and how to package them in the VNF package test? Or I'm just trying to understand the structure.
So the first three sections here are just sort of general purpose scope introduction. Chapters 4, 5, 6, and 7 are the main chapters where there are requirements, and in fact the infrastructure requirements is currently empty. It's just forward looking stuff about multi-vim and so forth. So it's really these 4, 5, and 7 that have the main requirements. And the requirements are fairly high level requirements that are written at a sort of RFP level. So all of the requirements, we try to structure them all so they are...
You're presuming a particular style of development, or you're presuming a particular style of operation. I can't imagine you're able to capture how the stuff is actually implemented, right? I mean, why do you even care? As long as as long as they satisfy the functional sort of in and out requirements, why do you care how they implement them?
Because there's behavior associated beyond just the mechanics of particular interfaces.
Okay.
So you're trying to get the. You can build VNFs in many different ways that will support the necessary interfaces, but they won't behave in a way that lets that gives you any useful performance in an NNAP environment.
Can you show an example of one of those requirements that's behavioral based and not interface?
Let me tell you where I'm going. I can certainly see saying you need to support certain interfaces, and when that happens, you're essentially talking about the contract that is imposed by the interface, the behavior. But telling somebody that you have to scale in a particular way is kind of futile because, you know, a cloud-native VNF might scale in very different ways than a non-cloud-native VNF. Or the one that, you know, gets deployed in virtual machines might be very different than the one that gets deployed inside containers. So it would be good to see some examples, I guess. I'm with Brian.
So, generally these requirements in the VNF development requirements are the category of things you're looking for. When you're asking for examples, I would think the examples that would illustrate it are the ones that are in Chapter 4. The ones that are in Chapter 5 are the information modeling requirements. So this is where you get linkages to the Tosca stuff and the Heat stuff.
Tosca and Heat are data models. They're not information models.
Right. But that's the. I'm trying to give you a layout of the structure.
Okay.
Chapter 5 is where you get into that stuff. That's the placeholder where we would have any information model related things or any data model related things. The management requirements section is more concerned with the interfaces like NetConf and Chef and Ansible and so forth, and the data models associated with event records, that kind of thing is structured there. So to give you the flavor.
So where would we put a best practice or a developer's guide that says, if you're using Tosca, this is how you would package up your NetConf software, client-side software for delivery. Or if you're using Tosca, this is where you specify your dependencies on hardware platform or hardware infrastructure requirements or on hardware infrastructure, period.
So Chapter 6 was reserved for dealing with the hardware infrastructure pieces. We had been requesting input from the multi-vim folks on this, but aside from high-level general things like they're going to support Azure in future, we haven't received much detailed.
But different VNFs will run in different requirements. I get all that. What I'm kind of getting at is, we're at a point where we're going to need to. We're going to need to specify how to develop a VNF or how to describe a VNF or package a VNF using these new Tosca standards, right? So
you're saying the requirements would be something like use SOL 004.
That's silly to say that, Chris, because, okay, so let's say we do that, but we know full well that... Just saying that is not going to help, right? Yeah. Because we provide a stricter or a more limiting interpretation of Sol 1 because of grammar limitations and other things. All of these have to be explained somewhere. And I'm just trying to understand the structure, right? Because when I looked at these things before, they were all kind of shall and should and may and could. But what we need now is kind of, well, if you're developing a VNF and you're going to use Tosca to describe it, here are the gotchas you're going to get into. Here's what you should do and shouldn't do.
Right. And so this is the chapter where I would expect most of that material to go.
Okay.
So there's this chapter has been there since the Amsterdam release, although it was substantially revised towards the end of the Beijing release. So it's closer, but I think there's still some updates needed in this area. So
for example, just looking at it, 5.1.5, NFV Tosca is pretty much dead when it comes to A, new development, and B, we use Sol 001 spec now.
So
this is going to have to go in here. Okay, so we have to change all that.
Right, so there's a bunch of updates I would expect in there. I think the in some ways the heat stuff may be more helpful as a guide of how the process would work. If I pick some of the stuff from the heat section, again, you'll see the same sort of requirements structure with some explanatory text around it. But generally, we tried to get requirements down to the form of being a single sentence.
But I mean, it's difficult to provide a developer's guide as a set of singleton statements.
Right. So if there is general guidance you want to add around these things, that's fine. What we've been trying to do is condense these to requirements that were moving us towards having testable requirements. So these we've tried to structure so that there is a limited number of subjects to the requirements, so you know what the requirement applies to, that it's not just trying to pull something out of freeform text, right? So we've consolidated these requirements. There's probably a few updates to the heat requirements coming, but I would expect with the Tosca material coming, then there would be much more requirement updates in the Tosca section. If I go back to the point, I think that's probably more useful as a handoff. What we've intended as a handoff is the test case material. So there's two pieces under here. One's just the test case description, which is the kinds of things you can do to inspect the package and see whether the information element's there, whether it's within the ranges you expect. So basic test structure. The more interesting thing is the appendices, where we have a list that tries to give you a correlation between the requirement number, whether it's visible in the VNF package, what the information element name is, and whether we know whether it's testable whether there's some corresponding test available in some release of ONAP. So a couple of things to note when you look at this list. The requirement numbers in general are random numbers. So that if we reorganize the document, you don't have something based by chapter or something silly. This list is just, we've truncated the ones that are not visible. Some of them are conditional. They're optional parameters. So that's fine. The first set are primarily the parameters that were identified in the Beijing timeframe as being visible in what we knew of the Tosca model. The following remainder of them are the heat parameters that are currently supported in the tests in VVP. Right. So that's trying to give you a sense of what's there.
But how do you describe more of a, okay, so we're going to, we probably should have a more detailed session because, for example, for HPA requirements, we need to be able to test what's in the package. In fact, it's not really a package test. It's really the VNF descriptor that needs to be validated so that when we tear it apart inside ONAP, we're not dealing with failure conditions. So we're talking about, again, exposing some information about how to build Tosca Sol 01 spec for VNF in the context of ONAP. Then within that, we would want to be able to specify or test for configurable parameters, the instantiation parameters, how to deal with HPA, all these different things. They need to be tested, right? Sure. You know, part of testing the package is not just structure, but the artifacts inside the package.
Right. So that was the intent of trying to get to this point of the test case descriptions as a handoff. So the idea of the test case descriptions was there's two basic types of tests that we thought you could do. One is just detect whether an information element was present or not, whether it was supposed to be present, and then whether the content within there was within the range limits or the namespaces that it was supposed to be within. Now those are the kinds of things you can do by just trolling through the VNF package, right? That doesn't require you to have an ONAP instance up and running. It doesn't require you to have a particular VNF up and running. This is just purely static testing or inspection of the VNF metadata.
So for Casablanca, if we picked up what was published at the end of Beijing and implemented based on this, is that sufficient, or are you expecting an update soonish that we should be picking up and considering for inclusion in this release?
So let me walk through our work plan and come back to that. But so there is a, let me just briefly say, there is a lot of things to be done in the testing space. Turning all of these no's into yeses and turning them into tests on the Tosca structure would be a huge chunk of work. If you guys can get that done in Casablanca, that's great. Even if we have updates in future, I expect there's always going to be a stage where we're adding more requirements, we're evolving the package, and then the tests follow along within a release or so. If I go to our requirements project, to our release plan, what we're trying to do, and we could look at it in Jira as well, but basically, we've got the updates to the requirements coming from changes to the platform components in Casablanca. For both Teed and Tosca, I would expect updates to that material. There's new features like PNF capabilities. There's the 5G use cases. There's the auto-scaling use case. And I think there's some management interface updates that would expect to be coming in the Casablanca release.
But I hang on. So wouldn't they be generic? What exactly? Why would you want to encourage somebody to do something that's non-generic? Or I guess regardless of the use case, you either describing a VNF, so we have the CSAR package, so that's a common currency. That has certain structure, that has certain artifacts in it, that has to be compliant with Sol 04 release of, you know, version X.Y. If we say that, What's the expectation in terms of testing? Are we validating against the spec that Tosca, I mean, that's all produced, or are we validating against your interpretation of that specification? And then the question becomes, who is reading the spec and who is writing your interpretation of it? I mean, you need an army of people to write the tests, Stephen. That's basically what I'm saying.
No, I agree. That's
Where's that army coming from? That's what I, naively, I'm just, I know how many people Intel puts on this task, and
Yes. The thing I had wanted to let me come back to that topic. The thing I had wanted to try to flag was in terms of our timeline for the features that we're trying to do. So we have some toolchain improvements that we're trying to do to make it easier to manage the documents, to sort lists of requirements and stuff like that, to associate metadata with the requirements. So we're trying to get that stuff done. We initially thought we could get it done in the M1 timeframe, but it's more likely the M2 timeframe. Getting all the bug fixes in alignment with all of the other features is something we would target for the M4 milestone. The additional use cases that get supported in Casablanca should be all defined fairly early, so we should be able to get that done in M2. We're trying to get the test descriptions annex, that table of testable requirements, updated in the M3 timeframe. And then in the M4 timeframe, we thought we would have the all of the things around requirements badging completed.
So you also have stories for example, for VNFD validation, right? You have stories for...
So if I go back to... let me go to... So we have... the requirements project.
Stephen, as I look at all this stuff, I'm a little worried. I'm worried because let's say I'm a VNF developer, and let's say I'm supposed to, as a VNF developer, say Cisco or Ericsson and Huawei, ZTE, whoever, Nokia, by agreeing to support the specifications that are supported by Etsy, I would imagine that those would drive how I develop my VNF. And that's what we basically have sort of agreed to in the context of ONAP, right? Which is why we've spent excruciating hours of trying to figure out how these specs fit into our models. And so if I'm a developer, I'm going to go and get those specs. The two specs that matter the most would be 01 and 04. And then, I would also get 03 for lifecycle management and 05 as well. And then I would develop my VNF. And I would honor the interfaces that are specified in those specifications. And the whole intent here is that I would probably want to develop my VNF once and then be able to support it inside ONAP and outside of ONAP, which is, again, why we've adopted certain specs. So now, as I develop all this stuff, I need to know the specifics that are relevant to ONAP, not the generic, just the generic requirements exposed or imposed on me by those specs. So, you know, there may be a description of how I do certain things, but in the context of ONAP, it might be a little bit different, maybe, or not, right? You know, so how do we reconcile that act of taking something and making it SALT compliant with what you have here? And what are your expectations in terms of what we test on that front?
So, these are important questions, but they're bigger than what I can deal with on a call. If I step back and look at where this material comes from. So all of the requirements in the in the requirements chapter, published requirements document, this thing back here, these started out. Well, they came from two sources. So there was AT&T contributions from eComp, and there was some material that came from OpenO. And these were quite different types of materials. So the OpenO material was more of a specification, and the eComp material was more of requirements in the format that we've walked through. So that requirements format has continued. We've allowed or tried to incorporate requirements corresponding to the OpenO pieces as well. That's all water under the bridge. But these requirements coming from eComp were requirements that AT&T was promoting towards its suppliers in eComp days. The ETSI work proceeded somewhat independently of the eComp work. And so if I look at the rest of the eComp platform, then you get into a bunch of other issues that are come to the head in the discussions around the information model and path forward.
Okay, but okay, let's deal with the
so I can't solve that problem on my own. If there's a change in the information model, then there's impacts into the rest of the platform. So to date, we believe these VNF requirements are what is necessary to be consistent with the current ONAP platform.
And I see Andre's hand raised. Andre?
Yes, just to help Stephen, because I'm into creating user stories and developing the VNF package related tests. So, Alex, it is obviously to me that we are talking about the VNF descriptor that should be based on SOL 001, last stable version, okay, and SOL 004 standard with all editions that we managed to add lately. And the question here is that do we want to only mention the SOL 001 constructs, or we want to list main of them or the major of them as part of the user stories that we created?
Let me kind of go take a step further and see where I'm going with this. I can simply have a requirement that say that VNFs developed for ONAP shall comply with the following ETSI NFV SOL specifications. So stating that one requirement would imply that somebody has to go read the specs and basically be compliant with those specifications. So now, those specs are not fully implemented inside ONAP at this point, and so what we need to say then is that you have to comply with these specs, but here are the exceptions.
Right, right. The exceptions would be listed, and even the ONAP specific editions that we are going, I know that at least for VES event handling, we are going to extend using the ONAP extensions artifacts.
Right.
Yeah, it will be listed explicitly, and I also I owe the user story in VNF SDK this time. That I'd have to specify how this artifact should be built. I mean, how this directory should be built with the standard naming that we registered in Etsy, so 004. Yes, I agree with you. This is the one part. Second part is testability requirements. Testability requirements is already created, at least as a long, long table. When we really, I went by construct by construct, and let's say because we wanna specify explicitly which of them will be tested as part of the specific ONAP release.
Help me understand.
Yeah.
If I have a requirement that says thou shall support version 0.9.0 of Sol 01 specification.
Yeah.
Then I would imagine we would have to test that they did that.
That's it. That's the question. I'm not sure that I have a 100% answer. We can decide. Let's say that we want to test for Beijing. We didn't test almost anything, as I understand, because of the readiness of everything. But in Casablanca, we can really go and construct by construct, even adding, let's say, properties and adding attributes that we wanna be explicitly specified. We are in a position to create such table to be very detailed.
Okay, but creating a table is a great exercise. But do you? Let's be pragmatic. Where is the army of 20 test development engineers who are going to take the table or take the spec, read through it, and write the tests?
Okay, well, I don't know. Alex, I really don't know. I'm in a position only to create everything that we agreed on creating as the content for as a content for testing. I'm not creating tests, but okay.
Okay, yeah, let's wrap on this. Andre, finish up, and then...
I'm done.
Okay, Chris. Yeah, and then we've got Tin and Brian, and then let's try to wrap on this topic. It comes back to VNF SDK and VVP to look through this to see what... we can implement and what we want to implement see if we can make progress on the list. But it's useful to have a list of requirements to look at as we're doing this planning. So let me turn this over next to Tin and then to Brian.
Yeah, I think first of all about the VNF SDK for testings, from an Etsy side, we're going to be delivering a YAML file that has all the type definitions. So somehow, at least minimum, the VNF SDK must be able to parse and understand all those type definitions, right? Because you cannot assuming that a vendor, like Alex was saying, that a vendor that's going to be developing a product and they're going to be based on that spec and they're going to be building all the based on those types. And they're delivering ONAP, and ONAP say, well, we don't support that types, or we support partial of that types. Granted, the system may not support it this release, but it would not be failing the validations, okay? So something we need to take into considerations, and I can share with you what we have so far the initial draft of that type look like, so you understand what I'm talking about. So that's the first thing. And then the second part, vendors going to be delivering their service template, the VNFD, that has specific requirements on what need to be there, like import statements, substitution statement has to be a certain way. That's defined in the specifications. So that's something the tool need to validate to make sure that the crucial information is available. So those are two things that need to be available in the VNF SDK tool.
Okay, so why don't we add that to the agenda for next week? If you can share with us where Etsy is, we can work through that.
Okay. I can prepare a couple slides to share that. Now, I don't know if those are in Stephen's VNF requirements or VNF package requirements. I don't know that part for the Stephen yet.
Not in YAML format, for sure.
Okay.
And Brian?
After listening to Alex's list of questions, it got me thinking about the purpose of these documents. And to me, it sounds like they're going above and beyond specifying what a VNF needs to meet to be used in ONAP. And they're going beyond that in, as Stephen said, into an RFP type set of requirements. One of them, for example, is the VNF must not execute long-running tasks in a critical section of code. And I question, because of the testability of this, and as Alex stated, the army of test developers needed, should these documents be RFP-type documents or be minimized down to what a VNF needs to do to be operating in ONAP's environment?
That's kind of where I was going, Brian. Thank you.
Exactly. I never saying that we want to put a maximum. We just want to have the minimum testable. Yeah. I agree.
So I think some of these RFP type requirements that AT&T brought in, they're great, but I don't know that they belong here. Maybe they should be in there in the operator specific RFP documents.
Well, I think that's part of the reason for. Well, let me go back to the test case description. So that was part of the reason for trying to separate out which requirements were testable from the ones that weren't, because they are at a higher level at this sort of RFP level. And so by trying to segregate out the ones that were visible in the VNF package, then you can write tests to see whether they're present in the package, whether they've got the fields that in the right format, etc. So these ones should be all testable. The ones that aren't testable, those are the ones where the VNF badging kind of activity makes more sense, because in that case it's more of a web form checklist thing like the CII badging. You just the vendor just fills in, yeah, we don't do the long running tasks or whatever. It's
even not, I think
so we can keep a track of which ones are testable and which ones are not, and we can certainly have a discussion about which category particular requirements belong into. That's fine. And if somebody wants to argue about the wording of particular requirements, that's also fine. If you find one of these and you don't, one of these requirements, and you have no idea what it means or you think it needs to be changed, just raise a bug report against the requirement and we'll discuss it and fix it.
I don't remember seeing a requirement category, as you stated, that would specify the type of requirement. Maybe it's a performance, a non-functional performance type.
So we had an exercise in the Beijing timeframe to try and identify what were the set of testable requirements. And the first pass of that is what ended up in the annex of that test description document.
I'm talking about the new metadata that you're attaching to each requirement. Seeing a field.
We haven't restructured for that as to the type of requirement. We can if that's a field we need, we can add one if somebody's willing to classify the documents.
So
let's come back to the it's a great discussion point, Brian. Let's pick that up in the requirements discussion when we get to the tool chain.
So let's try to wrap on this topic. Stephen, thank you very much for presenting to us today. It sounds like we have some homework to do to go through the testable requirements, the annex, and see what makes sense for our development plan for this release. Also, if we have comments on this, to reach back out to the VNF requirements team to work with them on any updates.
Chris, I raised my hand as well. I just one short comment. I think we can. I'm looking for some guidance here because we're going to badge VNFs, and that's great. And the whole point, as 10 point, you know, kind of said, you know, for creating dependencies or explicitly stating that VNFs are going to be compliant with certain specifications, is that while we may not be the ones testing all that, so to me, what we should be doing is not, you know, specifying requirements which essentially amount to what it means to be SOL 1 compliant, but we should be stating the how to deal with the anomalies, right? You know, or limitations or extensions or specifics of how certain things apply to ONAP. To me, that makes more sense. Simply regurgitating what is in the SOL 01 spec of 4 or 3 or 5 seems a little bit less interesting. And then testing all that implies that, well, we're now writing tests for ETSI. But writing tests for the exceptions to the rule, that's doable. That's a much smaller list.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's on us now to look through this list and see what makes sense. And I don't think we've spent the time going through the appendix yet to identify, you know, that list. So I think we have some homework to do before we go back to the VNF requirements team with any suggestions.
Yeah. So just on that, the requirements team has a regular weekly call on Tuesdays at 8 Eastern. And I apologize to Brian and everybody if he's on the West Coast, because I know that's brutally early. But there's a limited number of time slots that match up with all the time zones. If you can't make the call, certainly raise a bug report in JIRA against any of the requirements you don't like, and we'll work our way through them.
So first, I think just community-wise, we said we wouldn't do meetings between 6 and whatnot. But, you know, I may be wrong. You don't do this through JIRA, Stephen. I think we need some joint meetings at a time when people on this call can attend. Because you're asking us to create tests for something that another organization is going to be controlling.
Let's take a look through this first, and then sync up, and then we can schedule a synchronization call with VNF requirements if we need to, and go from there. But I think we need to do our homework first.
Okay. I think the other thing that would be good to do as you do this is think about if there is some numbering scheme for your tests that you're developing so that we can get a linkage between the requirement numbers and the tests that implement them, because it may not be a one-to-one linkage, but getting that correspondence set up is something we're trying to work with the VVP folks to get implemented into the heat tests, and it would be good to have something similar into the Tosca tests.
Great.
But so yeah, thank you for the opportunity, and if there's further dialogue, I'd welcome that. We can pick up wherever.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So let me give back the sharing.
Great. So let's move on. Next, Victor and Kana Garage have presentations on the testing architecture. I'll turn it over to the two of you.
Sure. Let me share the desktop.
Great.
Is my desktop visible?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks. So I'm Kanak from Huawei, and so I went through this compliance verification, what we discussed earlier, and come up with like what is understanding of what is required on the from the VNF SDK. So basically, like VNF SDK should provide a compliance framework where vendor or operator can use it for validating the VNFs. So I try to look at what the existing frameworks like Dovetail. So I understand, and there are some pitfalls, like it has a very limited support at this moment. Like it supports only like a Docker in case of a Dovetail. Suppose you want to like write a test case in, simply you want to write test case and then put it into the Dovetail and test, it's not there at this moment. And it provides only the CLI of doing it. And there is no manageability, like which test can run by whom and like that. And there is no like a flow concept. Flow is mainly used for a test shoot kind of environment. Also, VNF SDK also has some pitfalls, like current implementation is kind of a cumbersome. And so it brings the maintainability in costing. Also, there is no like test case execution support. And VNF SDK does not have like manageability. Like if you have so many tests and you want to run the tests and then produce results, and there is no manageability on the test cases and the results. So but after understanding the Dovetail and VNF SDK, so we felt like there is a need for a platform to address those problems. So we kind of like form the objective.
Excuse me, I have one question. When you talk about Dovetail, do you mean Dovetail integration or OPNV Dovetail?
Dovetail tool, I mean that.
The OPNV version.
So the OPNV version is not actually, you don't, it's just a wrapper. Okay, but we do have a tool to run tests and flows and all that. There is also a GUI now. We are adding a GUI currently.
Oh, okay. So maybe like you can share the information. We will have a look into that.
It is called the VNF test. It's Dovetail integration. It's a project under VNF SDK.
Okay, I will talk about the later of the slides. Yeah. We have a reference for that. Let me continue. So we try to like based on the pitfalls what we found, we try to form the objectives. So basically, it helps for the vendor to develop a test case and deploy and run them, as well as we want to like the Linux Foundation needed the test platform where like VNF packages could be certified using the one-up requirements, which we have seen like earlier, the earlier sessions, like there are so many like RFC kind of things are defined, and we want to verify them so that once verified, it can be used in the one-up. And test cases and VNF, the package should be manageable. Means like when you are putting a test case into the platform or the VNF packages, like you should have like a manageability, like so like different users put different VNF packages, and one user may want to share with others, or one user does not want to share with others. So those kind of manageabilities we want to provide. And also like once you run the test cases, we want to like analyze the test result we ran so far. Okay, also like we want to provide the test flows. Flows are required basically to do the like compliance verification and to satisfy the VNF requirements or SL004, because there will be so many tests we will be involving, and in order to meet one requirement, we may run on a different test in a different flows. So there should be a way we can define the flow and then run it. And finally, it will provide the container kind of deployment. So this is the overview of the platform, what we're thinking of. So I will just take you through the different components for a minute. Okay. So already we have a VNF marketplace, that is a VNF repo. So that's it will act like a controller where currently we support the VNF package, and it will be extended to support the test cases. And we will bring a test center where when the user requests the, when the user triggers the and then test case, it will just go to the test center, and then test center will talk to the test runner. Okay, so basically we are providing a different kind of a test runner. So because a vendor or operator, they may like to write the test case in Java, Python, Shell script, or in some other way. So there should be a way like you can run the test cases in the different runtime environment. So once you run the test cases and all the test results will be stored in the test results repository. In this, you will have a test case or the test flow or even the profile. So profile basically captures the a different kind of the inputs required for a given test case, for example. So once you have the REST API, so the user can access through the access the functionalities or the REST API either from the console or from the web portal. So basically, it gives a complete end-to-end picture where the operator or the vendor can make use of the console or the CLI, or they can go through the web portal, and in both the way they will access the controller through the REST API. And so, for example, when they run the test case, it will go to the controller, and controller will pass the request to the test center, and test center will pick up the right the environment, and it will run the test. And once it runs the test, it will give the result back to the test center. It will put it to the test repository. So later point in time, when the user want to get the result, so they will just over the portal or the CLI, they will talk to the controller and browse the result from the test repository. So once you have the result can be also published to the OpenFE, the portal where we already we have a VNF test result published. Okay, so the specialty of this platform is it brings the flow as well as it brings the manageability to the test cases as well as the VNF package, also the test results. So this can be realized. So we thought how we can realize this platform by using a different technologies. So we try to map it. So portal means AngularJS, and say the controller, we can go with the Node.js. Test runner will be in a different technology Python, Java, or the Shell script. So we have a. So I was running the CLI project for the past two releases, and we developed some platform called on the Wokley. So it can be leveraged here to run the test center as well as providing the CLI. This is more of the realization part.
So okay, I've got two hands up, Moshe and Brian.
How do I raise a hand?
It's in the is it participant view?
Okay, because I did it somehow different way. Now I forgot. Oh, I see it. Okay, got it. Yeah.
Okay, so continue.
There are three questions: Moshe, then Brian, then Alex.
Okay, it is unclear how this flow, and also we talked about the OPNFV program. So here there is a test center, I'm just asking where does OPNFV come in, and also, what is this test center? Where are the tests coming from? Java test and Python test, where are they coming from?
Okay, so I'll try to explain that. So these tests are so if we want to write a test case for the compliance or the package validation, so it can be a different kind of test case in order to satisfy the VNF requirements in the VNF environment. So we'll be writing the test cases in the VNF SDK, and it will be part of the VNF SDK project. And so once you have this in the VNF SDK project, and it will, so we will provide a new container called VCP. Okay, so this will talk to the test.
But who will write the test cases again? I'm sorry, I don't understand. The community will write?
Okay, so the test case can be write by the community or the vendor or the operator.
But the vendor has a you cannot trust them to write a test.
Yes.
So it would be more of the third party labs. So we get the community tests from VNF SDK and from VVP. You might have operator specific tests, and you may have a third party lab that wants to use VNF SDK and write their own tests that they plug into it. For the compliance testing, it would be something that comes from us. But this would be an extensible platform for other use cases as well.
So where does Dovetail integration come in?
I'll explain this in this slide. So the slide will explain that actually how the Dovetail getting integrated here. So we have something like this. So we have VNF marketplace. We will have a Dovetail compliant the container that VNF test. So the Dovetail will have the VNF test container integration. And the result will be published to the infra. So we try to map it. Sorry.
I had a question around all the actual stuff that you're describing. So whenever you're ready for it, just let me know.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your question.
So you're assuming that the marketplace is always there, but I believe we've already decided a while back that the marketplace may or may not be there. In fact, in terms of a relationship, there are multiple workflows between VNF developers and operators. So the marketplace is the preferred way to do business. But we've also discussed in the past, if I remember right, and Chris, tell me if I'm wrong, but I remember also talking about a point-to-point interaction between developers and operators, and how we would need to support that as well. And so my question is very simple. To me, everything we do between before ingestion by the operator is kind of like a motherhood test, right? You know, you're hoping that somebody will run it. I mean, maybe the marketplace people will run it. But if somebody hands a VNF directly over to the operator, we still need to run some tests so that ONAP doesn't barf on whatever was given to it. And we're doing almost no testing inside ONAP to validate that the VNF designs and everything else have been done correctly.
So remember the way we have VNF SDK Marketplace created today, there are two parts. There's a front end and there's a back end. And the back end is still necessary even if you're not using the front end. So when we do the integration with SDC, and if they want to use their portal, they attach to our back end using the RESTful APIs. So marketplace is still there even if you're not using it as a marketplace, because that's just the test control center as it says here.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, I missed that part. Now I understand what you're doing. Okay, so there's no way to bypass the tests, right?
Yeah, but how can it be, the testing control center, a test control center needs to have, a lot of functionality that I don't think we have here. Like periodic runs and version... test version, test per ONAP version, per things like that.
Okay, all those things will come like modeling the test case. So, okay, in this slide, we are just explaining about the platform.
I'm saying that marketplace, we are talking about a marketplace that will be hosted in Linux Foundation, right? It's a public server, right?
No, that's just the component within VNF SDK. No, the Linux Foundation thing is where it says OPNFV verified program. Linux Foundation may download this whole package to run
the validation tests, but what would get reported back up to LF is the test that we specify. So we would have the compliance package that would plug in through Dovetail. So the VNF test would be what's called VCP in the slide to collect the data that's going on in the VNF test platform and report that back up through OPNFP or through LF.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand. So I don't understand the marketplace. You are talking about a marketplace, which every service provider has his own marketplace.
This is the marketplace component inside VNF SDK.
Yes, but who launches it? Each service provider has its own instance of this marketplace, or is there a global marketplace for everyone?
Well, it would be like Dovetail. You download it. You download the whole tool, including the marketplace.
Yes.
If you're running the compliance program, so vendors could do it themselves, or you might have a third-party lab like UNH doing it.
So, but with Dovetail, you download the tool, okay, and you run the test, and then you send results to a public location, right?
Right.
LF. Yep. Okay. So, I need to understand. So marketplace is also something that you download and then you use it for what?
This would be a self-contained piece. And then it was still reported up like that arrow that you see going back to the public address in LF. But everything on this slide, you know, the Dovetail piece and the VNF test platform piece, you would download from our repo and run that.
Okay.
Yeah, those were kind of my questions. It's really unclear to me what's delivered here as a framework with an empty framework, and what's instantiated and running in the world is with real data, and is data commingled between different VNF providers?
How do we ensure that something gets done before we, you know, it hits the actual ONAP boundary? Because again, the amount of testing done inside the SDC, for example, is very limited. The amount of testing we would have to do in the policy piece when we validate, for example, the HPA requirements would also be very minimal. And so my fear is that if somebody wants to provide some garbage, they would be able to, and then, you know, then I'm not sure what that would do to the stability of ONAP.
So that's why we're doing this compliance verification program with the logo. The people come in and get tested, and the operators look for that logo before they move to a next level of testing.
I think you need to separate that out. I think you need to be clear on what project is building the framework and delivering that as an empty container ready to be used.
Right.
And then what entity or project is then taking that and putting it into use into the real world and running it and populating it with live data? And who has access to data? And is the data commingled? Can I see vendor B? If I'm vendor A, VNF vendor A, can I see VNF vendor B's test results?
So the way that this is working, that's getting covered by the compliance verification governance at the LFN level. The idea is for the compliance program is it's going to be self-testing, that you download the package into your environment, you run it, and the results get sent back up to LF. And then there's a portal. It gets reviewed by the qualified reviewers. You get your logo. And then some of those test results get posted on the website so that operators can go in and make sure that it's compliant. The second use case for this is third-party labs like UNH or, you know, if Cable Labs wanted to do it, they could do it as well. They would have the data, they would load the VNFs, they'd run through the program, and then they would send up the results. And in that case, they would have control of that portal as opposed to the vendors having control of the portal. So either this would directly be in the vendor lab and they wouldn't see anyone else's stuff, or it would be in a third-party lab, and then the third party would essentially govern the access to that data. But it wouldn't just be posted on the internet for anyone to be looking at it.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, but so, yeah. So, so I still don't understand that there is a redundancy of test frameworks, because if we have here a test center, okay, which invokes the test runner Java-based Python shell stuff, okay, and then it also invokes the Dovetail integration tool, which also has its own tests. So why can't we use just one?
Okay, so let me explain here. So I think this slide will explain it. Okay, so Dovetail, like earlier we were seeing in the slide, right? It has its own limitation. And more than that, like, so we want to like bring the one-up related compliance testing. So where you, like you will like write like hundreds and thousands of test cases where you can deploy and then you can run it. So that's the main motivation behind that, behind this. Like, so this was decided earlier. So when you look at here, the mapping, so the VNF SDK marketplace is like covered into the VNF test platform. Okay, so it's basically, it is what, so from the existing VNF repo, we are trying to upgrade it to the next level. So if you frankly speaking, okay, so we already have VNF tests, so it will be like equivalent to the container, what we shown up here. And so Dovetail is the same. And so already VNF SDK has a VNF repo where you can store the VNF packages. So it is same as existing today. Okay. And finally, you can report the result. So essentially, if you look at here, so it is same as today with some upgraded, like where you can bring the manageability to the test cases or the VNF package or the results on top of what we are having today. So in the Dovetail, we'll provide one the container. So that will be
what
like
is this Dovetail? What is Dovetail VCP container? What does it mean?
So it is same like whatever we are having today in the VNF test container. It is equal to that VCP container. I just try to name as a meaning.
But what is VCP container? I don't know what this is.
Okay, so in Dovetail, it gives the framework where we can place the container, and then you can invoke the container with for executing some test cases. Okay. So basically, inside the container, you should have some tool for running the test. So the VCP container is similar to that, which is very compliant to the Dovetail container, which will provide a tool called VCP CLI. So say like you want to write a test case in the Dovetail and you want to run it over the like this test platform. So basically, you will just say that, okay, run the CLI with some requirement.
I don't understand. Is there, this is another Dovetail, tool, or this is a Dovetail changed for us, or what is this?
I think this is an enhancement to the VNF test component that exists today.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you're calling it Dovetail VCP now? This is VNF test?
Exactly. So that's why I mock like VNF test is nothing but this container. It's just upgrade from one.
First of all, the name Dovetail is you cannot use it because Dovetail is a framework, okay, which already has its definition and what it does. And already the Dovetail is a wrapper to call other frameworks. It already calls.
I got your point. Basically, like we just try to Dovetail because it is very compliant to the Dovetail framework. Basically, it's getting deployed on the Dovetail tool and is used. So we can remove the Dovetail term also.
The Dovetail is not. What do you mean? It's deployed on the Dovetail tool. It's not deployed on the Dovetail tool.
Dovetail mandates no. Like whenever you want to run third-party tools in the Dovetail environment, so you need to place the third-party container in the Dovetail environment where it will trigger the
you have an independent tool which is called either yardstick or for our case VNF test or so this tool knows how to run tests, and then Dovetail it has its the job of Dovetail is to supply management, test management, and to show the suite and to provide authenticity assurance. So Dovetail invokes the target tool.
Exactly. So
it invokes VNF test.
So here we have like a set of test cases, and we want say like you want to invoke them from the Dovetail. So this VCP container will facilitate for that. So what you are saying is there is no difference between what I'm saying. So basically, like this container gives VNF test what we are having today.
So you're today, saying the VNF test will now have a new name? That's what you're saying? Just a name?
You can think of it's a new name, yeah. But it's the upgrade of like VNF test today.
How is it upgrade? What is the upgrade? I don't...
Or you can just name it like a new version of the VNF test. So to understand simple, so we have VNF test today for running the test case from VNF SDK. So the VCP will be the same tomorrow. There is no difference. So I can name it like this. So I can just name like VNF test instead of VCP.
Hey Chris.
Yes.
We have to start the next meeting.
Yeah, okay, you're right. We're way over. I know some of the people need to participate in the other bridge. Can you wrap on this for now? I know there's still more questions. And Victor, I know you have a proposal as well. After the meeting, can you please send them through email and we can continue the discussion through email and then bring them up on the next call too if necessary?
I have another request regarding code review. Code reviews are being, they are dragging on for a long time, and it's hard to work like this. So if you can please look at the code reviews and do them ASAP.
Okay, thank you.
Is that duly
noted?
Yeah, and please send across the questions if you have, like, so then we can discuss over the mail. Thank you for really bringing the questions, and please share it across the email so we can discuss over the mail thing.
Okay. Thank you very much. Could you both send a copy of your slides to me, and I'll post them on our wiki page for this meeting?
Sure, of course, yeah.
Great. Thank you, I appreciate it. I'll close the call now for people who have to join the package model meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you, appreciate it.